Evening and welcome to Weekly Skews. It is Tuesday, June 2nd. I am Mark Agee, and joining me this week, because Trey is in an office like some sort of regular fucking schmuck, it is Drew Morgan. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up, guys? I am here as the stand-in host for Trey Crowder, and I'm joined by Peabody Award-winning Mark Agee. How the fuck did you keep that from us? Even in a way, how did it not come up when we were just arguing about journalistic integrity or something?
No. See, what background, for whatever reason, last night, Corey was talking about how he always wanted to win a Peabody Award, and I was making fun of him. Then I remembered that I didn't personally win it. I worked for a show that won a Peabody Award. That was Patriot Act. But I don't even know what a Peabody Award is, because it would be like a TV, like this year's winners are a TV show, a magazine, a dog that can do tricks, and then it's like everybody who doesn't get it. Like, I don't even know what it is. It's fucking stupid. So anyway, I have no idea what Corey wants.
Not only do I have one, I'm too good for it. Also,
I don't have it. I don't have it. I was just gloating to Corey, but it just
seemed
really
important to him. You won a Peabody Award, dude. You're a Peabody winner. Like, that's a fact.
No, I mean, I literally didn't remember until we've been talking about it for like an hour. That's how important it is in my life. So I am back. I just got back. You were at the beach last week too, right? You were in Alabama, is that right?
Yeah, Orange Beach, right by Florida. We accidentally drove to Florida one night.
So we're looking at the same sun drenched redneck on a raft out there somewhere. You and I gazing out at the Gulf. The funniest thing I saw in Florida, related to stuff we talk about on this show, is an official Florida license plate that had the Gadsden flag and "You Don't Tread on Me" on it. Someone paid
we haven't
the
talked
government
about that before?
No, I didn't know they had. I didn't know they had it.
One. Dude, I give him hell all the time. Like, and he forgets. Like, once a year, I'll be like, "Dude, I didn't know you'd get those." He's like, "Yeah, man." I'll be like, "How'd you get it?" He's like, "Oh, you just filled the paperwork." "Yeah, the paperwork. Whose paperwork?" "You just go online." "Online where?" "The government. The government website." And then he's like, "You motherfucker."
Honestly, I hope the government is putting extra tracking chips in the Gadsden flag license plates. I just fucking hope that they're doing that. That would kill me. But like you're paying you're financing the treading on you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you're paying him extra to be tread upon. I mean, that's like all the jokes about him having a kink for it. It's really true. I think I've told you this before, and this one's dark in my opinion, because if you really get into this one is fucked up. A young prosecutor, when I was a public defender in Miami-Dade, we saw him at a bar one time, and so he didn't have his suit on. He had it, and the "don't tread on me" phrase, on his forearm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, brother, we're at a bar, and I'm drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, carry me out of there. I was screaming at this man. I mean, it started out just, making fun of him. And then he started getting mad. And I was like, "What are you going to do? Are you going to prosecute me? You know, you're going to prosecute me? And then right before you send me away, you're going to talk about how you're not treading anybody?" He's like, "It's about the government, you know, taking up arms against people." I was like, "It's about government overreach." And, you know, I was just calling him a moron. And then I remember it really turned when his trial partner, Brian was his name, black guy, which, you know, who's the guiltier party here? But anyway, Brian, the black prosecutor, was like, "I don't know, man. He's got a pretty good point." That actually might have been when I made him mad. I might have been like, "Yeah, listen to Brian, the black prosecutor. You guys are quite a fucking pair, I tell you what." And they got pretty mad about that.
We have a fun show I want to talk about. So we're going to be talking about the Texas Senate race. Before we get into that, I real quick want to mention this and then talk about a fun story with you. But Bill Pulte, he's an inheritance kid. His only job experience is working for his father's real estate trust fund, I think. But he's been working at the Fannie Mae trying to find paperwork crimes to charge Trump's enemies with related to mortgage fraud, even though they didn't do any mortgage fraud. But anyway, so I don't want to talk about any of that. But he has no experience in intelligence, but they nominated him to be the DNI to replace Tulsi Gabbard. But what I do want to mention is that he went to college at Northwestern, where he was the president of Pi Kappa Alpha, I think it was the name of the fraternity. When he was a senior and president of the fraternity, they had a young freshman pledge by the name of Chet Hanks. So our new director of national intelligence supervised Chet Hayes while he was hazed for a fraternity. our new director of national intelligence has probably watched Chet Hayes drink beer from a butt crack, and that's basically his only qualification.
Wait, it might be you and it might be me. I feel like you said Chet Hanks and then you said Chet Hayes. Which is it?
Chet Hayes is his rap name.
I did not know that. I was not with a bumbleclat disrespect of Chet, man. I want you to know that Trey is also a Pike.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we have three.
So Trey and Chet Hanks are fraternity brothers. That's so great.
We live in a simulation.
Yeah, so I just feel like it's representative of everything going on in our country, that the person in charge of stopping the next 9/11 was fraternity brothers with Chet Hanks. So
everything that's going on in our culture, it's like the WWE-ification of everything. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's like who you know, how much clout you have, all that stuff. That's certainly been a thing, but Trump's really exemplified it. It's really kind of dark and scary, even though it is very funny.
Yeah, but one thing that does make me feel better is all the other countries also have silly shit going on, which is why I want to get to the story out of Nigeria, which you will really enjoy. I want to play this coverage from Russia Today of a congressional candidate in Nigeria, if you got this footage, Matt.
Joining us today is Muhammad Sadi
Buba.
Young political aspirant whose emergence has generated conversation around leadership, inclusion, and public perception. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Okay. So, seems legit, right? Everything about it seems totally legit. She's talking about, the reporter's talking about how his emergence has, led to conversations around leadership and inclusion. It's because Abuba had presented himself as a 30-year-old politician who is so tiny because he has dwarfism, which is what makes him look so much younger than his real age.
Oh, you're not allowed to ask.
No, he volunteered. I don't know what the laws around DI stuff are. All right.
No, you can't. I don't like here anyway. I don't think you could be like, "Hey, are you really 9?"
Well, you have to be 25 to run for Congress in the United States. So someone would have to double check at some point. But it turns out that someone got a hold of his passport, and turns out his passport says he's actually 15 years old, which also doesn't track to me. He's fucking 8 years old. So, he's stealing dwarf valor or something, or maybe he's a 15-year-old dwarf. I don't know. But, you remember that back in, we were kids, there'd always be these Puerto Rican dudes playing the Little League World Series, and they'd go cover the birth certificate, and it turned out they're
Little League World Series, hell, dude. I mean, there's people in the league right now who didn't pan out, and part of the reason, they're good. Don't get me wrong, they're good baseball players, but part of the reason that they got drafted so high is because they were a 25-year-old pretending to be 17, and a 25-year-old baseball player's ability in a 17-year-old is one of the most impressive things a scout has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think we invented this. Well, we, the West. I don't think this is on Africa, dude. I think they just took our baseball move and applied it. This is AAU basketball in politics.
I guess, it would be So before, here's another funny thing about this. Before running politics, Buba said his backstory was, he said he used to be a truck driver. So yeah, I just had a long day driving a truck where my feet don't reach the fucking pedals.
Oh my god, I love it, dude.
It's like, what's it's a so grown up? Fun, yeah, it's so like a little rough. Rascal trying to come up with a grown up job. It's like, what do you do? It's like, oh, you can wear a fake mustache. It's like, oh, I'm a truck driver. Just like, I'm a man of the people. Like, what are they? He probably doesn't have trucks to play with. So
I watched the Little Rascals this weekend with my son, and they go into a bank. And instead of 3 kids in a trench coat, it's 6 kids in 2 trench coats. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, because I was quoting the movie because it used to be my favorite one. But he goes, the banker goes, who played by Mel Brooks, if you were my kids, I'd punish you. And Buckwheat goes, if we were your kids, we'd punish ourselves. And honestly, that kid, not racism, look it up. He looks like Buckwheat.
Okay. So his supporters often referred to him with nicknames such as the Wonder of Zaria and Al-Jabin Zazao, which means the Marvel of Zazao. And like I said, I don't think he's 16 either. If you got this next video, Matt, to get a good look at him.
It's just him playing Legos. What a little cherub.
Yeah, that's a picture of if you got this next video, Matt. So he's standing on a chair there.
Okay, let me say this too, and not trying to be woke, being sincere before you hit the video. Go ahead, hit it.
Okay. an hantare ni, an wulakanta ni, an ci mu mutunci, an ci mu iyaye.
So what he's saying there is, quote, this is his dropping out video after the scandal broke, quote unquote scandal, because it's really heartwarming. Nobody got harmed by this. It's because of politics, my dignity is being attacked. I've been humiliated and I've been harassed because of how Allah created me. So all the haters and the fake news are saying he's only 3 feet tall when you can see him. He's pulling a Trump about only being 8 years old when he got.
See, I said it. You're not allowed to ask because this is what happens. The woke mob comes after you if you ask an 8-year-old, are you really 8? We don't think you're a dwarf. I got to say this, and this is, again, I'm not trying to be woke. No, we can laugh at this because it's fun. But Americans don't do the thing of like, man, look how crazy Nigeria is. Because a kid that talented here, I'm not saying you're doing it. I'm just saying, like, a kid that talented here, we would make him a movie star, and he would be on meth by the time he was 14. And apparently, I'm learning in the last year, raped by an executive producer. So this is super fucked up, but it's also like, it's kind of funny. It's fun. It's like really funny.
Bro, there's a guy in Congress from Tennessee. I forget his name, what his name is, but like his current wife, he met her when she was 16, and he visited her high school as a congressman.
Yeah.
So. So, like, this guy, this pretend like his passport age is a real age, 15, 16. He's old enough to date an American congressman. So I say he's old enough to be in Congress, is my point. But anyway, I still think he's not 15. But if you want to see just this other mind-blowing thing, after he dropped out, he went to the mall. You got to see this video. This is a supposed 15 years old who was trying to be in Congress. He went to the mall and rode a little horsey around. I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Okay. Wait, that's him littler, though. That doesn't look 8. That looks 4. Okay.
Yeah.
As someone who enjoys, respectfully, who enjoys little people, micro wrestling federation, that kind of thing, I'm into that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but that's not a dwarf as a kid. Dead as an 8-year-old.
Unless he has something, it's all different. I know what he's saying. He doesn't look to me. I don't have his medical records, but yes, he looks like a normally proportioned kid. All right, so we got producer Matt here with us on the ones and twos. Once again, I'm Mark. That's Drew. Let's get into it, Matt. We don't do the ads on this version like this. So let's get right into it, Matt. Daily Dumbass graphic, please. Tonight's Daily Dumbass is the world's worst open mic for starting while we were still sober. Here's a clip of Stephen Miller on Fox News talking about James Tallarico.
Be bold. One could even say brave, courageous. The Democratic Party would choose Texas, of all places, to nominate their first transgender Senate candidate who's clearly transitioning into a female. You know, when Tallarico goes in for a blood test, when he gets a physical, blood doesn't come out. Instead, soy milk comes out. This man has less testosterone than Crockett. It is a mind-boggling choice. They would choose a person to run for that office who looks like he doesn't belong in the Senate, but in a cabaret show. Look, at the end of the day.
Okay, so it goes on like that for a while. Like, this is like the most unfunny shit I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. Jesse Waters should honestly get a fucking Oscar nomination for laughing at that shit. Because I don't believe Jesse Waters actually thought that was funny. Even Jesse Waters isn't that fucking stupid.
I don't think anyone thought that was funny.
No.
Do you think he ranted on his wife like the way we used to? You know what I mean? Like, that's like a thing in the comedy community. Like, your first audience is the person you're dating and you torture them with your bits.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this is true, but I think that might be the worst thing he's ever done. And I want you guys all listening to know that I know everything that he's done. I know all the evil he's done. That's in the top three.
Yeah, to me, it's the worst thing he's done to me, definitely. I will say, like, I don't understand these attacks don't, like, so I've written it for enough, like, roasts and roast adjacent stuff. You sort of get, like, a basic understanding of what joke's going to land on people. Like, for example, a fat joke's not going to land on someone who's well put together. It doesn't matter how big they are. If they wear a nice shirt that's tucked in, their hair's done, they're clean shaven, it's just not going to land. For whatever reason, the things that people in clock to, like, Tallarico does not code as gay to me. He codes as like youth pastor.
Yeah, yeah. They would have called him a child rapist, but they don't have that in their arsenal anymore. For the next 4 years, they don't get that one. You're completely right. It's insane. It's also insane to watch that fucking blob lizard shit try to talk about like gender in terms of expression. Like, that's not what a man is. He looks like a soy boy to me. That dude weighs 57 pounds. He's built like a bird's bone.
Do you remember when he sprayed on hair and went on TV?
No.
Yeah, one time he went on TV once, just all of a sudden had hair again. Everybody made fun of him that he was bald again the next day because everyone hurt his feelings. But like, Tallarico's running against Ken Paxton, who doesn't code his masculine either. He's just a horny creep, which is different.
Kim?
And huh?
We're going to play gender games, and they're running him against someone named Kim.
Ken.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, and the other senator from Texas is Ted Cruz, who has the physique of one man boob, right? Like, this is what he is. But I wanted to, like, so the same, literal same episode of Jesse Waters' show, Benny Johnson went on, who I need, like, if you don't know who Benny Johnson is, a conservative, like, influencer kind of guy, Benny Johnson is closeted gay, allegedly. I got to say allegedly here because he sues people who tattle on him for being on DC, Washington, D.C. Grindr because he has a wife and kid. But, like, it's a fairly open secret. I don't care that he is. He's the one who cares that he is. But I want to quote here the Benny Johnson and Jesse Waters show. It's a Xerox copy of the same untyped five that Stephen Miller just ran. You've heard of Beto O'Rourke? Dems are now running Beto O'Dork. James Tallarico is the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light ad of political campaigns. Michelle Obama has more testosterone. Low T Tallarico could be played by Elliot Page. All that's like stupid and gross and doesn't really make sense as jokes, but like this part doesn't even make any sort of sense. This Texan eats barbecue with a napkin. Disqualifying. Motherfucker, people in Texas use napkins.
Oh, I'm so stupid. I thought he meant like literally instead of a fork. Like I was like, what? I was like, I think you just misread that one. It's great too because you're so much funnier than them. Like that was better than what they're doing. So what you're saying to me, this was a different episode, I hope.
No, the same episode. It was like 10 minutes later, the same show. Yes, yes.
Dude, who is this writer and how do we get that bag? I just, you know what I mean? Because I could make it purposefully this bag. Clearly they'd fall for it. I will say this. I think this stuff will work on my father-in-law. I don't think he'll think it's the funniest joke he's ever heard. I think he'll chuckle and then he'll start saying to his friends on the golf course that James Tallarico is feminine.
Mm-hmm. And like, that at least would land as a joke to me. It doesn't matter to me. I don't understand why anybody would fucking care at this point. But if you're calling him like a little bit of a sissy, which is how this started, then I'm like, okay, it makes a sort of sense, even if I don't care about it and find it weird. But like, so what happened last Tuesday? The reason all these texts just started recently is like Ken Paxton beat John Cornyn in this Texas Republican Senate primary. Now, Ken Paxton, if you're not aware of who Ken Paxton is, is the current Texas Attorney General, and he was impeached a year or two ago by the Republicans in the State House for being one of the most corrupt motherfuckers you could ever imagine. Now, he wasn't convicted in the Senate because they put a lot of the big money people and the MAGA people put a lot of pressure on, but the basic thing he was impeached for a bunch of shit. But the Cliff Notes version of it is he took a bunch of money, less than you would imagine, from a rich guy who should have been in jail, and instead cover up crime in exchange for this building contractor, whatever the guy is, put a free deck on his house, I think, gave his mistress a free job to be paid to be in Austin so she'd be around to have sex with Ken Paxton, and set up a fake Uber account so Ken Paxton wouldn't get caught going to his mistress's house. This guy was paying for his Ubers. So his wife's in the middle of divorcing him. The divorce trial's in a couple weeks. His wife was also, she's a state senator who was on the jury that voted to not convict him. So she basically made sure he could keep the grift going so she'd get half of it because she's also a scumbag.
She was on the jury? How the fuck did that happen?
She's a state senator.
Yeah, but still.
The Senate votes to convict when you get impeached. So it's
I get that. But you're, correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about his wife.
Yes.
Yeah, even with the Senate, I understand the Senate gets to decide whether or not you're impeached, but even with the Senate, I feel like it'd be like, hey, one person has to abstain on this vote.
Right. She should have. She didn't. She voted to get her husband off so she could get a bigger cut of the bribes.
Are they from different districts? I'm so sorry. I'm getting hung up on this, but you're
blowing my mind. He's the attorney general. He doesn't have a district.
Oh, right. My bad.
Right. So, yeah, they're from outside of Dallas. So anyway, they're trying to like muddy up Tallarico to try to make it like it's like, well, they're both shitty, but they're not both shitty.
Yeah, I mean, he's a superstar. He's like the only like what is it that we're always looking for the Democrat from the machine? What is it like? No nonsense, you know, liberal or whatever. Like,
yeah,
middle of the road. Like, he's the only. It's like he's the only good Christian. They found the only actual Christ-like person, and they're trying to throw something at him.
Yeah,
you can tell who's running shit. How do I want to phrase this? You can tell that whoever they're paying to like come up with these has a Gen Z or a younger millennial on there who's like, and they're like, how does the internet work? And they're like, well, here are the top five trending things, and here's how you stay in the algorithm. And they're like, great, call him gay, go with that. Like, it's like straight out of some sort of like, all right, this is how we took down, and it doesn't apply. You understand what I'm saying? It's like this very elementary understanding of how the internet works. Mm-hmm. Ironically, it's sort of working because we are talking about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, it might work in the sense that, like, you can mislead people a lot just by putting a bunch of vague bullshit in there and give them the sense that something's a loft, you know, even if none of the attacks sort of make sense on their own.
Right.
So, along to your point, let me quote here from this piece, headline, the GOP's attacks on James Tallarico are straight out of the incel handbook. It's not just, like, internet coded. It's a specific wing of the internet that's from, like, 4chan posts and stuff, where, like, if you're not familiar with the lingua franca of school shooters, this stuff won't totally track to you.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to express, and I was expressing it poorly. This appeals to a specific subset of their base, but like that, those people aren't voting for James Tallarico anyway. So this kind of doesn't make sense to me.
Right? No, it doesn't. It's from people that are like really, really, really up their own ass in their own bullshit. Like all the average, like, you know, college Republican does speak school shooter. So all their interns, all the people they're talking to, do speak this language. But let me quote here from Paxton's like victory speech. He's even running a vegan campaign, whatever that is. He goes by a few names you may all have heard of. Some people know him as Tofu Tallarico. Some people call him Six-Gender Jimmy. I've even heard some people call him James Tallarico, and others refer to him simply as Low-T Tallarico. By the way, Tallarico actually hits, not in a bad way, but that's a fucking cool-ass nickname, and Tallarico's campaign was already making t-shirts with that on it, so that one's a fucking winner.
Tallarico. People and who don't know.
I'm not naive here, but if you guys are like I know that like political backstories, like people who want to run for office start building their resume when they're in ninth grade, right? Sure. I'm not stupid, but like on paper, Tallarico did all the right things. Like he fucking he went to divinity school. And by the way, his church, like the pastor in that church, I think started doing gay marriages when it was still illegal, like 20 years ago. He's a real OG, like Jesus was a communist kind of fucking like preacher, right? Tallarico went to divinity school, then he got a degree from Harvard, and then went to elementary school. So he might have, you can say, well, he's just being a good person so one day he could run for Senate, but that's better than the opposite.
What the Republican Party does understand is that their base doesn't actually care about that, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. They don't care if the candidate is a good person. If he's saying we're going to vote for the right things, hey, what's up, Trump? And they don't care if the opposite side is a good person, if he or she's going to vote for the wrong things. But it's still like strange to watch it play out because you're sort of like, dude, just tell everyone that he loves gays, immigrants, and trans, and then you probably will win Texas because those things are true. And like, you know, that's what people seem to care about. But it's actually really because of that, it's doing my heart good to see them flounder like this. Genuinely. Mm-hmm. This kind of reminds me of when the Democrats used to and still do and seemingly always will run someone who's like oftentimes just a corporate hack. No eyes. They've worked for McKinsey their whole life. They'll say whatever. And then what they say is like, it's Pride Month, and it's like sure, but great. What are you going to do, though, for us? This is like their version of that. I'm glad they're here. They have been culturally a step behind us in the identity politics game. They just take it and make it their thing, and it's gross. This feels like that, and it's a loser move. I mean, that's the upshot here, right? This is loser shit.
It's like, I wonder, like, how many people this forks on, because, like, what they're trying to do here, and it's like, it's a interesting magic trick, but they're trying to redefine vice as masculine-coded. And we all do this to a certain degree. It's like, oh, somebody burps and farts and then, like, scratches their armpits. Like, oh, men stuff, huh? But, like, doing that when you're accused of stealing money and cheating on your wife a bunch of times, like, there's a rumor, I have no idea if it's true or not, but like Paxton has a steady stream of mistresses. The current word allegedly is that his present mistress is still married with 7 kids, right?
I almost did it. I almost said, hell yeah.
Wait, you know she fucks. No, but like it's like, that is a war crime. You're taking 7 kids, mother? That is a nuclear bomb of cheating. So, like,
goddamn right. So, let me say this then. Let me defend them. They have observed over the years, they being Republicans and the Republican machine, that telling potential Republican voters and Republican voters, we can't tax rich people. Mm-hmm. One day you'll be rich. And won't that hurt your feelings? Maybe they're now being like, we can't punish people for having 7 mistresses. One day you'll actually get the fuck. And won't that hurt your feelings? Like, the aspirational, we can't do it, is really impressive. Maybe that's all this is.
Right. So, like, when a politician gets caught with, like, a 17- or 18-year-old, whatever, like, they're, like, the hidden promise is, well, what if your babysitter wants to fuck? One of those, right?
Yeah, or, like, what if your son gets caught doing this? Because I have heard conservative women just be like, well, that's just how men are.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the men you love. Oh, my God, that's what this is about. Wow.
Yeah, so, but I think with part of the secret sauce here is, like, they think because Trump gets away with all this stuff that they should be able to, and maybe the sales pitch will work, but Ken Paxton's problem is, like, he has, like, I'm surprised as many women, I mean, power and money must be a huge aphrodisiac, because, like, he has the charisma of, like, a cardboard cutout of Ken Paxton has more sexual appeal than Ken Paxton does. But, like, they're trying to, basically trying to be like, well, he's also an alpha because he also lies, cheats, and steals. And, like, they're not even really trying to hide the ball on it. Here's an interview with Ken Paxton where he sort of makes this point.
Well, what are you going to do about your own record and your own perception? The Wall Street Journal describes you as scandal plague.
Well, look, that was all pushed by Karl Rove, and I understand how that works. I get why they said that. But the reality is they could say the same thing about Donald Trump. When you're fighting them.
Sure, they say I'm a sex criminal and a thief, but those are the same true things they say about Donald Trump.
We talked about on the Well-Read podcast that the way to end, like if Biden, for example, it would have worked, I think, if Kamala had done it, had just like called him a slur. And you know the one I'm thinking of. It would just take the sale out of that bullshit. And this is, I'm not condoning this, but just in terms of how it works, if someone slapped that guy on national TV, it would be like that whole game would be over. If someone slapped Donald Trump, that whole game would be over. Like, if you're going to play that game of, well, I'm a man, that's what men do. We fuck behind our wives' backs and we steal. And it's like, all right, that's an insane – your premise is insane. Your conclusion is insane. But if we're going to play that game, then let's just have a fist fight. And then the winner gets to be senator. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Tallarico's strong, but he's younger than that old bag of bones.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know because of how television works, their actual height and weight to be. But it would not surprise me Ken Paxton's like 5'4". But I think what would really help Paxton is the Democrats could like arrange some sort of false flag sex scandal where he gets accused of like stringing a bunch of women along on situationships and like dating apps. I think that would really help get him elected. But like another scandal where like a lady's like he touched my boobs but never liked a single one of my Instagram reels. Some like sort of mild, like sort of ghosting sort of thing. But the Democrats have sort of like tried to do that because they've hard launched his girlfriend. Tallarico was forced to hard launch his girlfriend who did not want to be in the public eye. And we'll get to that after a break. We'll be right back.
This episode of Weekly Skews is brought to you by Quince. Summer is in full swing, and that means it's time to upgrade, not just update your wardrobe. So check out our friends over at Quince. Quince is all about high-quality essentials that actually feel and look amazing. Breathable European linen, soft organic cotton, the kind of well-made basics you don't have to think about. But without the luxury markups, everything feels elevated and still effortless. Their European linen pants and shirts are the perfect warm weather upgrade to throw in your rotation, and they start at just $34. The tees are soft and easy to wear, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are clutch for those cooler summer nights. And here's why we love Quince at Skews. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for the quality craftsmanship, and that's it. And it goes way beyond clothes. Custom upholstered sofas, ceramic cookware, premium bedding. It's the kind of brand you end up recommending to everybody for just about everything. So elevate your wardrobe this summer. Go to quince.com/skew for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. It's now available in Canada too. That's quince, quince.com/skew, skew, for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/skew.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. You know that? Life's a journey. Some days are good. Some days are bad. Real bad. And it could be real easy to just lay there at 2 a.m. staring at the ceiling trying to untangle the whole world in your head. Like that's ever once worked for anybody. We all know that don't work. Nobody's got all the answers themselves. It's just not realistic. But having somebody with you to talk to, to listen, to understand, just to have your back, that changes everything. And that's what therapy is. Don't overthink it. Therapy is about having somebody to talk to and talk through things with, and BetterHelp makes it easier to do. Their therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. They've got over 30,000 of them, and they match you with a quick questionnaire that you fill out based on what your needs are. And if who they match you with doesn't click, that's fine. You can switch anytime you want to. No hassle whatsoever. That's how you end up with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating across more than 1.5 million reviews. Pretty good sample size. They're doing something right over there. You don't have to do this alone, y'all. Find support in therapy and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/skews. That's betterhelp.com/skews for 10% off. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. If you think religious freedom should protect everybody and not get weaponized to slam the door on certain people, then you should check out Americans United for Separation of Church and State. So Trump has a new Religious Liberty Commission, and it's kind of a misnomer. Religious freedom is supposed to protect your right to believe whatever you believe, right? As long as you don't hurt anybody else, especially kids, you know, but that's exactly who's getting trampled right now when taxpayer-funded foster agencies turn away good families over their religious beliefs. And we have real examples really happening in this country. There's a Jewish couple in Tennessee denied. A Catholic mom of three rejected because she wouldn't sign an evangelical statement of faith. A same-sex couple turned away. You could probably guess why. It's all about what these people's religious beliefs are, and that ain't supposed to be how it works. In this country, that's the way I learned it, and I'm sure you did too. If you don't like that, like I don't like that, you can get involved by going to au.org/crooked to learn more and become a member today. This fight's far from over, and every one of us has a part to play, so go to au.org/crooked. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Lisa. Here's the thing about sleep. You don't realize how bad your sleep's gotten until it actually gets good again. When you sleep badly, you just keep waking up with a crick in your neck and a chip on your shoulder. You're tired during the day. You don't know why that is. It don't have to be that way at all, though. Lisa builds mattresses around how you sleep. You just take a little 2-minute sleep quiz, and it will match you to your perfect feel. And from night one, you get premium materials, real comfort, full body support. And these things are designed and assembled right here in the U.S. of A., backed with free shipping, easy returns, and a 120-night trial, so you can actually live with it and decide for yourself. Best hybrid and best memory foam per the New York Times wire cutter. So highly rated over there at Lisa, and they've donated over 43,000 mattresses to families in need. So if it sounds good to you and you're trying to sleep a little better, go to Leesa.com. That's L-E-E-S-A, Leesa.com for 30% off select mattresses, plus an extra $50 off when you use the promo code SKEW, S-K-E-W, at checkout. That is exclusive to our listeners. That's L-E-E-S-A.com, promo code S-K-E-W. Tell them we sent you after checkout at Leesa.
And we're back. So like I said, James Salrico has been forced by the Fox News Cinematic Universe, who are literally making fun of him for his girlfriend being imaginary, to actually put her in the public eye. And I want to read from here this New York Post story about it, because the Post is like, you know, the Papaw Whisperer publication. It exists just to make old people mad. And let me read this headline here. He's no Tofu Talarico, but he's got a tofu-loving girlfriend. Brianna Maynard, 30, describes herself as, quote, a committed vegan, yoga buff, and cat mom who likes dancing the night away at local gay bar Cheer Up Charlie's in Austin, according to her bio at a local food co-op where she serves on the board. How high would your grandfather's blood pressure be by the time you got to serves on the board of a local food co-op?
What's great about that is it's the only part that pissed me off. I really thought she was the coolest chick ever. I couldn't believe this was his girlfriend until you said, sir. I thought she worked at the co-op as a fucking cashier. I was like, make this man president because he knows who to fuck. Sorry, listeners, but the first half of that bio was the best weekend of your life. And this proves that they've never fucked fun women. That is a good time. And it's so funny that they had to, like, call her vegan, too, because if their whole thing was like, he don't get no ass. And I was like, well, actually, he does. But shame on the Dems for playing that game. They should have done any of that.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. Like,
say, I don't fuck. I do fuck. I mean, that's what he's doing. I mean, it is a little, tell me I don't fuck. My girlfriend, she goes to a different co-op, but she's real.
There is a lot. I'm not sure how much this was like happened organically or whatever, because you're not going to be able to run for Senate and be able to maintain your relationship with a secret with a woman who's going to be able to hide. It's just not going to work. They're going to be hiding.
Also,
your fucking
brother,
pressure.
Let me tell you something. If she's on the board and that's her bio, I don't care what she says. She very much wants to be in the spotlight.
She works as a lobbyist, so it's not like she's completely not trying to be in the public eye. She has to like the real scandal.
I take back everything I said about her being fun.
So she used to work for him. She was like works in his office, she works in professional politics. So now they're trying to make it into a scandal where he was like ran a sexually abusive workplace, which is like, I thought the backlash against Me Too was that we shouldn't be mad at all fucking office women. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But like,
so your guy has six of these.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just don't. I mean, again, here's what it is. Some people want abortion, and some people want everyone who's ever thought about abortion to be shot. And that's how they're going to vote, dude. And I'm sorry to simplify it like that. I don't believe in a centrist voter. You have said it better than anyone. A centrist voter is not someone who's like, I don't know. Sometimes when I hear kill all the people who've had abortion, it sounds good. But sometimes I think I might want an abortion. A centrist voter is, I think weed should be legal, but I'm against abortion. Or I think gay rights are important, but I hate taxes. And I just don't. I don't know what this culture war is anymore. I don't know who it's for. I guess boomers. I guess it's for boomers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, look, like, you want to know how fake it all is. Like, one, like, somebody used to live in Texas. I moved there after college and was there for the first 11 years of my adult life. There's a weird thing you'll notice is, like, the most hardcore, like, people who talk about Texas like it's an independent country or some sort of different vibe are all transplants, right? They literally sell prescription eyewear in the shape of Texas. You can buy that places. You will not find a native Texan wearing that. But there's a very popular bumper sticker called, like, I'm not from Texas, but I got here as quick as I could, right? So Brianna Maynard, Talarico's girlfriend, she's descended from Michael Menard. I should say Menard because that's how the county's pronounced. And the reason I'm telling you it's pronounced how the county's pronounced for a very important reason. The county's named after her fucking ancestor, because he was a Canadian fur trader who founded Galveston and signed the Texas Declaration of Independence, and Menard County is named after him, like I said. Ken Paxton grew up in fucking California. All right?
What about Talarico? Where's Talarico from? Please say San Antonio.
He's from outside of Austin, like Pflugerville, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just also – that's what I'm saying, man. They don't actually care about those things unless it serves them. You know, what they care about is, like, two issues, and then the third thing is sticking it to the libs, man. We got to stick it to them libs, and it doesn't matter how we do it. We call them vegan. We call them gay. We call their girlfriend gay. We call their girlfriend vegan. It doesn't matter. And it's the WWE-ification of everything, like I said. It's just, like, good side, bad side. It feels to me like playing that game – is a loser, but what do I know?
Dude, look, far be it for me to, like, know how to talk to anybody about politics anymore in 2026, but, like, the libs have been stuck into them for over a decade now. Republicans, MAGA controls everything. They're even taking over fucking CBS and HBO. They got the government, Supreme Court, the banks, Silicon Valley, social media. If you don't feel like you won at this point, or like things are going great, I think it's time to look around and figure out what you might want to change and who's been doing the fucking up for the past decade, because it's the same people have been sticking to the lips.
Yeah. Well, two things. A lot of these people are losers. So they can't. Right. Like, they are losers in their soul. And then two, yeah, they can't face what you just pointed out. You know, it's like, hey, everything sucks. We know whose fault it is.
The trans people.
Exactly. I've been saying it. And Tallarico's clearly trans because he what? Like, hasn't gone bald and doesn't have a receding hairline? Like, I don't know.
He does look like he doesn't need to shave, but that's like, I'm jealous of him, honestly. It saves, probably saves a lot of time.
Those little boys are girls now. Oh, this is so Trump's not gay when it comes out that he fucks little boys. Got it.
Okay. So about 2 weeks ago, Trey sent a random text or a thread. Like, it was like, wait, he asked me, he's like, I think he addressed it to me. He's like, Mark, is Tallarico vegan? And this was like 40 news cycles again before this attack really launched. And I was like, I just laughed. I was like, I think it's their way of calling him gay, but they know they can't call him the F word slur for gay people, right? And even in 2026. And then they just started doing it. So, like, they skipped past the vegan thing so fast. But I do want to mention, like, what the vegan thing was based on. It got pushed back into the ether because, like, 3 weeks ago at a campaign stop in San Antonio at a Tex-Mex place, he got breakfast tacos. They were potato, egg, and cheese. That's a very popular breakfast order in Texas. I know not a lot of people put potatoes on tacos, but Texans be doing that, and it's delicious. But they started to roast him for being vegan, but I want to point out that vegans don't eat eggs or cheese.
You mean the people on Fox don't know or care what the definition of a word is? That's what I'm saying. There's something about this that feels like this is what the design is. It's like designed to be exhausting and infuriating because, like, again, I don't think my father-in-law cares if his breakfast order was vegan or not. He cares that he thinks it's funny to join in with the group laughing about it because this guy's a communist. Which, by his definition, is just anything left of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Or just, like, so now Tallarico's doing photo ops where he eats, like, big old barbecue turkey legs and shit. And I want to say here, like, you brought it up earlier, I hate fact-checking jokes. I think when Elizabeth Warren took the DNA test to prove she was part Native American, that was one of the biggest, stupidest cell phones in American politics. Do a different joke back or ignore it, but don't fact-check a joke. It seems really weird and weak. But anyway, he's not vegan. But the vegan thing is based on something that actually is real. And back in 2022, when he was running for re-election in the Texas House, at a fundraiser, he told a group called the Texas Humane Legislation Network that he talked about the need to reduce meat consumption to combat climate change partially, and announced his campaign was only buying vegan food products for its events. So 4 years ago, his campaign had a lentil food truck at a small rally in Pflugerville while he was running for the State House. And somehow this is a scandal you're supposed to be upset by.
I don't understand why anyone would care if he were vegan. Yeah. I mean, they're annoying, I guess. But, like, I just... These people aren't serious. No. Except that, again, I go back to, I don't think they care. If it came out that Ken Paxton, or whatever the fuck his name is, was vegan, they'd be like, yeah, he's probably been eating Tallarico's girlfriend out. You know what I'm saying? Up top, bro. Like, it's just anything to throw the other way. And I feel like playing in it, if you're going to play in it, you have to play by the rules. He should have just called him a fat pussy. He just should have called him a fat pussy. He should have just been like, what that fat pussy say about me? I don't care.
I don't think Tallarico, his mouth could literally form those words, but I think it would seem even less authentic than, if the man said a swear word, I feel like he says stuff like bejesus and like, you know, what do you think? Instead of saying, like my mother-in-law is very Catholic, instead of saying shit, she goes sugar. I feel like James Tallarico says sugar.
Do you remember that scene in, I'm sure you do, because it's great writing, in Jerry Maguire, where she takes down Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character and his wife. We're talking about Zellweger. And she's like, at the end, she's like, sorry, I'm not good with the insults. She's like, the world's so fake, I don't know what to say to my son, except here's a man who isn't screaming, show me the money all the time. My point is, it could be like that. I hear what you're saying. Tallarico doesn't have a you fat fucking pussy in him, but I do think he has something like, brother, get heated. Say bejesus. Say, I swear to goodness, if you don't stop doing this, I'll beat the bejesus out of you. Sorry, I'm not good with cuss words, but I'm just not going to sit here and take this from a fat man with a hairline receding quickly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he could get there, Mark. He has anger, is what I'm saying.
I think those sort of authentic, unscripted moments, like there's the, honestly, like, Ted Cruz doesn't have enough backbone to this, but I think if he actually challenged Donald Trump to a fight for calling his wife ugly, which would have been the natural human male response to do, it might have fucking ended all this. Or like, I'm thinking of like the, you know, the McCarthyism hearings when the guy was like, have you no decency, sir? Like that's finally what broke the fever, is somebody saying, being honest about these, my God, you're a fucking monstrous dickhead who's lying. Everybody knows here is lying. It's part of it.
I think that the reason indirectly we are sitting here talking right now on this show, that it was founded by Trey Crowder, is that in his first video that ever sent him viral, while the jokes were great and the points were prescient, the line that sent him to the moon viral-wise was, quit being a pussy and say what you mean. It's a untenable position to pretend that wasn't what was going on. Now, to be fair to the right, they finally started saying what they mean, and now they're like, we hate trans people, we want to murder them, but still.
Right, which brings us to the woke. I always think like the French word for wokeism, which is le wokeisme, always makes me laugh, but let's get to the wokeisme part of this. So 10 years ago, when everyone was woke, and I mean everyone, or was starting to be, to my 2016, Donald Trump waved a, I'm going to read a few stories here, before we all agreed that woke was bad, when we all agreed it was good, okay? In 2016, Donald Trump waved an LGBT rainbow flag at a rally in Colorado, of all places. There's a picture of him doing so, if you don't believe me. In 2019, the first Trump administration recognized Pride Month for the first time. He also celebrated his own administration's efforts to decriminalize homosexuality worldwide. They were led by the U.S. ambassador to Germany at the time, with Richard Grenell, who is a psycho but also happens to be gay. Then in 2015, do you remember Rick Santorum?
Oh, yeah.
Rick Santorum was such an anti-gay senator. He was a Republican senator from Pennsylvania, that gay people Google bombed his name. They invented a gross name for a byproduct of gay sex, a fluid byproduct, and called it Santorum, and pushed it to the top of his Google results to the point where he's dropped out from running for president, because if you Googled Santorum, you got a bunch of pictures of men having sex with each other.
There's the gay influencer who's responsible for that, and I'm blanking on his fucking name.
Dan Savage? It was Dan Savage, right?
Savage did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan Savage did that.
And the quote here from Rick Santorum in 2015 on Bruce Jenner, then Bruce Jenner transitioning, quote, if he says he's a woman, then he's a woman. That was Rick Santorum in 2015. At a Republican convention in South Carolina.
It's like they don't mean it.
I don't care if they didn't mean it. Like, the point is, like, everyone should be nice. Like, they were saying the right thing for the wrong reasons. Now they're saying the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. They don't fucking believe in anything.
No, they don't. They never have. And I think that most Americans do know that on some level, that most of these people, there are some counterexamples. I think Tallarico might be a little bit of a counterexample. I think that we all, I mean, even Rogan is sort of like, almost like taken aback by the guy, because it's like, damn, I looked into you and you've always been this way. I think, though, most Americans kind of feel that, regardless of what a politician's saying, which is why I go back to, so they're kind of just voting for their team at this point.
But I want to ask, like, what is, I guess I don't understand what the team is if there's no, like, the Mormon has a political principle or ideology behind it, you know. But I guess, I mean, I guess the nativism is the one thing they have left.
Well, I was going to say MAGAs, unfortunately, seems to be nativism, xenophobia, and fuck you, I rule.
I got mine. Fuck you. Yeah. Don't make me think about it.
But also just I rule. I mean, I genuinely believe a lot of what people like about Trump is that he celebrates himself because they're fucking losers. And it's the thing, like, well, you can't tax billionaires. I might be rich one day. Well, we can't be mad at a guy for being awesome because one day I'll be awesome. You will be neither of those things. You will go into debt buying a truck. You will put a squat thing on the back of it. You will get your heart broken by a fat girl in Panama City Beach, Florida, and you will die a fucking loser. And you know that, and you hate me for saying it and liking your gay cousin, so you vote fuck the libs. It is what it is, man.
So tell Rico his honest self is, for lack of a better term, that he's accepting of others, right? Which doesn't hit for a lot of people anymore in 2026, collectively we've all decided that being woke was a national mistake in some way, shape, or form. And so let me quote here. Tallarico, as he tries to pivot to the center, because every Washington consultant is telling him that even though he doesn't disagree with anything he said in the past, he needs to lie about it now in order to which I think is a mistake, because it just comes when you, inauthenticity. I think people would prefer you to be authentically yourself. Even if they disagree with one or two things you believe in, then try to walk back things you've said in the past, and you're clearly lying now. But whatever.
100% agree with you.
Like I would rather vote for somebody who has convictions, even if I don't agree with all of them. But anyway, so let me quote here. James Tallarico says he, quote, missed the mark on cringy comments as Texas general election starts. So I do think he's correct that it was cringy, but for enough of the reasons that the consultants are telling him. Let me quote here. Back in 2021, during a debate in the Texas legislature on a bill targeting transgender athletes, Tallarico said, quote, modern science recognizes there are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six. I don't know where he's getting that from. It's beside the point from the political argument. But the problem is here isn't wokeness. It's pandering.
Yes.
Right?
This is what I was going to say. I don't think we collectively decided woke is bad. I think we collectively realized centering that as your political identity is foolish. Not because the woke is wrong, but because it's not a policy. It's a way to exist in the world.
If
he got that from somewhere like scientific, you just look down the barrel of the fucking camera and you'd be like, yeah, that's science. Sorry, you guys hate it.
Just to expand on what you're saying, like, it's like, it's not that like being tolerance bad or being or performing civility or performing wokeness or whatever is bad. It's doing it in lieu of doing anything of substance, which people were doing for a while. That was the mistake, is thinking that. Here's a classic example, but posting Happy Pride Month is all you needed to do.
I'll go one further than that for you, brother. If I post Happy Pride Month, I should do that. That is virtue signaling. A critic would be like, you're virtue signaling, Drew. And I would be like, correct. I think it is important that we signal our virtues so other people know where we stand and feel welcome, blah, 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 right? But I'm a comedian. You shouldn't virtue signal if you have your hand on the levers of power. You should then not signal your virtues. You should solidify them via policy. And a refusal to do that does make you seem wishy-washy. It makes you seem like a little bitch. And I'm not that familiar with Tallarico. I just know that he has this like sort of unassailable, I guess, testimony, for lack of a better word. If he is wishy-washy, then fuck him. I'll be done with him too. I mean, it feels like that's what you're telling me now. Kind of
no, he's trying to figure out a way to talk about it. But I do think that the six sexes thing is like interesting, because I would like to hear a trans person ask him to name them. What are the six sexes, James? Because like he's like a man, woman, seahorses because the men have the babies. Because he doesn't have a dick.
Right, but I assume I could be wrong. I assume he's getting into it's XY and XX. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, and intersex and stuff.
XYY, XYX. Like, I assume that he's talking about that.
Right. I mean, I don't know. But I think he meant to say gender, but it's like, I don't understand why people have a problem. Like, I I can understand why they try to answer these questions literally, because I don't think they understand that they're not being asked the question they're being asked. When someone, like the Democratic politicians get this all the time from like, they'll be like a trolley Fox News correspondent, like, can you define what a woman is, right?
Yeah, sure. It's anyone that the person asking the question hates.
That's a better answer than what they do, which is usually run away or try to like give some non-answer to it. But like, the real question they're asking is, will you use the power of the state to punish people who live their lives in the way that I don't, that I find weird?
Right.
The answer to the question is, well, I'm not going to punish people who live the way I am, might be vaguely uncomfortable with, even whether I do or don't feel that way or whatever, because it's not my role as a government official in a free country. That is the answer to the question. But they seem like they need a concrete answer to how many genders there are or whatever. It's like, I don't, that's why like the old guys, Joe Biden, honestly, the best question of this is like, how many genders are there? He goes like, I don't know, four, and just walked off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, let the papotism flow through you.
So, So he also said the thing that's being floated around, where he said God's non-binary, which is just literally true. But I guess a lot of people find it an annoying thing to say out loud, because even when I was like a sixth grader in Bible school who knew that I didn't quite buy all of it and asked like annoying questions. Like, I mean, wait, are you telling me God's a man? And you get the answer to it. It's like, well, that's how we interpret him, as a powerful figure. So we use the word father, but God doesn't imbibe a human. Like that was me at Southern. That was what the explanation was to me at Southern Baptist school, Sunday school. In the 80s, in a town of 100 people.
Was that like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? It, like, they're non-binary and they're they, them. It's all bullshit. You know what I mean? It's like, which is weird, because sometimes that is the non-binary person's point. That the idea of gender expression, that men do this and women do this, is not something that I buy into. But then, of course, their critics will be like, well, then why are you wearing a dress? Like, you are trying to express something. To your point, that's why the answer is a trap, or the question's a trap. Mm-hmm. I think you should slap anyone. Again, I think that's what I really think, genuinely. Mm-hmm. If a reporter asked a politician that and he slapped him, I know he won't. That guy from Maine will. That's that guy from Maine that's caught up in a sex scandal right now. Graham?
Platter, yeah.
Dude, if he just started slapping anyone who asked him a gender question, brother, he'd be president of Maine. They'd make up a new role, and he'd be president of Maine.
I've been trying. Look, like we don't have time. We got to wrap up in a second. We don't have time to get all the Plattner stuff. But I do find like I've been trying to get to the bottom. Like, the reporters always know more than they can say, because they can't have the source to print it. So I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. But like, the sex scandal that Plattner is, sex is even a strong word for it. Zoomers would not call it sexting. This is not even a first base of sexting. There are no holes shown. He just has his shirt off in front of a mirror, the pictures I saw anyway. James Tallarico would kill for this sex scandal.
Yep.
So, anyway, we got to get out of here, but I want to appreciate
it. They're just trying to say you don't stand for what you really stand for. And I'll be honest, I think this Graham Platter guy might be a little bit of a bad guy. I think that he says so many things I agree with, but he clearly loves the spotlight and the attention and all that. And I'm like, I don't care. I do not care. Why would I care if this guy cheats on his wife? Their side wants to murder my nephew. I will vote for the guy who cheats on his wife.
Well, even then, like, he didn't cheat. He said, like, he did he was obviously cheating, curious.
Ask Aaron.
As far as we know.
Ask Aaron, brother. As your attorney, I highly recommend you ask Aaron before you finish that sentence.
Anyway, we're over time, so this is getting edited out anyway. But thank you for coming on, Drew. I appreciate you. You got anything you want to plug?
Sure. I will be hosting at the CMA Fest in Nashville this weekend. If you're around, look on my Instagram or whatever, and you'll see it. Follow me at Drew Moore Comedy. I'm hosting Wook Court at Bonnaroo. I'm very pumped. If you're going to be at Bonnaroo, it's wild to me if any of your listeners are going to be at Bonnaroo, but I really hope they are. Come to Wook Court Saturday at 11 a.m. at Plaza 5, and we're going to have a great time. I'm going to be the jester.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Drew. Really appreciate you. It was a good time. Check out Trey's tour dates at TreyCrowder.com or whatever it is. Listen to Matt's Good Skews audio only show on this feed. And
listen to Gravy Baby.
Listen to Gravy Baby Drew's pod. And if you want more skews in your life, just sign up for a Patreon. It's only $5 a month. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Skew.